Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Bone-crunching hits, backboard-shattering dunks, backflips, and hat tricks on the Sports Leader, AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
It's bye week for the Buffalo Bills. Doesn't mean we're going to not talk about the Buffalo Bills. I mean, there are guys that cover this team that never stop working. Guys like our next guest, Marcel Louis-Jacques. Bills beat reporter for ESPN's NFL Nation at ESPN.com. Good with his time, as always, joining us on a Wednesday to talk about the Buffalo Bills. Marcel, how are you, bud?
I'm great, man. It feels a little weird. You know, waking up in the morning and not going out to One Bills Drive, but I guess we got to take these breaks when we get them, right?
Yeah, you got to get out and enjoy this time of year here, Marcel. How are you liking the Northeast here in the month of October?
It's getting a little chilly in the morning, man, but, you know, this is it's a good weather. It's a good temperature in the middle of the day. You know, you usually get away with just a, you know, hoodie and some jeans, hoodie and pants, T-shirt and pants. Like, it's just it's a really comfortable window that I'm told is quickly closing.
Yeah,
so
you're right about that, Marcel.
Might need to just go stand outside and enjoy it.
Marcel, paint a picture. I mean, we've heard plenty of stories from this last weekend in Nashville about Buffalo descending on Nissan Stadium. What was that scene like? What kind of support is this team receiving from a fan base that really looks to be bought into a team that's now 4-1?
Yeah, so Nashville, it's a pretty popular, like, bachelorette party city. And about every couple minutes, if you're on the street, you're going to see, especially where I was in Midtown, you're going to see, like, the pedal tours, or they have these party buses that, like, it looks like a regular bus with the roof chopped off. And it's really interesting. It's really unique to Nashville. I've never really seen it in that capacity anywhere else. But I can tell you that 8 or 9 of every 10 that you saw were just chock full of Bills fans. And, like, I get it. Angry Titans fans. It's a Saturday. You live in Nashville. You're not going to be wearing your gear, whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, I've been to plenty of cities where home fans rock team gear every day of the week, this one included. So for them to say, to pass it along, was just trying to undermine just how many Bills fans were in town that weekend. It was legitimately like a home game there. And, I mean, there weren't a ton of people in that stadium just total. I think the rain had something to do with that. But, I mean, the players said it, the staff said it, they felt it. You could definitely hear a difference down there that, I mean, this was like, it was like Buffalo South this weekend. So I've never seen a fan base travel like that at any level in my life.
Marcel, I want to get to the Zay Jones trade, get your thoughts on the offensive line here too, but let's talk a little Josh Allen here. From that game, were the Bills, was that part of the game plan to make him more of a game manager here? And if so, where would be the line on that? Because obviously you can't have what happened against New England, but Josh Allen right now, here he is now with more than a full season under his belt. Where do you think we are right now in terms of the quarterback's development?
Yeah, I think it was important for him and for his confidence, for his development this season, to just go out there and manage a game. And I mean, he did it for the most part, and I think this defense has proved that it doesn't need a whole lot of offensive production in order to stifle an opponent. It can succeed. as long as it's got some sort of lead to play with. And I think that's exactly what Josh and the offense did, is they went out and got a lead, and defense just rolled with it from there. The one time where you saw the game get close was when that that old Josh Allen came back for just the play. Mm-hmm. But you saw how quickly that could change the tide and how unacceptable those kind of turnovers are as far as, you know, keeping momentum. So I think that he's been markedly improved since last season. I've been saying it all year that he's clearly an NFL quarterback. And it's still, I can't go all in on he's the franchise guy, he's the guy, he's the guy. But he looks more like he is their franchise quarterback than he did last year, and that's a positive sign.
And Marcel, you and I think are exactly on the same wavelength, and tell me where you stand on this, because I worry that Josh, who has all the physical ability, might not have the mental capacity before the snap to be able to dissect what the defense is throwing at him and what he's going to have available to him on any given play. That, to me, is the final frontier in Josh Allen's development. Have you seen any growth in that area? We certainly see growth in his ability to grasp this offense, but what about his ability to read opposing defenses?
I think he does a lot more pre-snap work than he used to. And once again, second year in an offense, that's a positive sign. There have been a couple plays where you almost wonder, did he know what the coverage was? For the one that glares out, that stands out to me, is that the interception he threw against Cincinnati, the deep ball, where it looked like he misread cover three and tried to test him over the top, and it didn't work. But I don't think his football IQ is a concern at this point. We've heard from coaches that he is much more engaging in discussing play calls and changing play calls than he was as a rookie. And it's just something you got to give him time to mentally take it all in. And I think he's done a decent job of that so far. It really seems like his shortcomings are not necessarily misreads. It's just trying to do too much. I was just asking, I forget who it was. We were in the press box, and it was like, has he thrown an interception where you say, like, okay, that was a good play. That was just a good play on the ball from the defense. And I think the answer is no here. I think every pick he's thrown this season has just been, you're trying to do too much. He's trying to fit a ball in a window that doesn't exist, or throw to a receiver on the run while he's stiff-arming a DN. I think you cut those kind of plays out, and you really wonder where this offense could be. I think I put the stats on Twitter today, 26 in scoring, but they're something like eighth in average first downs per game, and third in time of possession in game. Like, they can move the ball. It's just when they lead the league in turnovers like they do, there's not a lot this offense could do. So I think this bye week's a good time for some self-reflection and maybe some play style adjustment, because if he just hangs on to that ball, then I think we could see some great things out of this offense.
We're talking to Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN.com, covering the Buffalo Bills, doing a great job. Before you came on with us, Marcel, we were having a conversation about the Redskins and what they're up to, and why haven't the Redskins moved on from Trent Williams? Is that, come trade deadline, somebody that might be worth having a discussion bringing to Buffalo, knowing that Tyann Secchi right now at the right tackle position, he hasn't been 100%, not knowing where we are with Cody Ford? So I guess a two-part question. Do you think that's something they would explore? And how concerned are you right now with the right side of that offensive line and these injuries right now?
I think I'm more concerned with Cody Ford than I am Tyann Secchi. Insecki is going to get what amounts to 2 weeks to rest. While concussion protocol, you really never know. But I don't think that it's worth trading for Trent Williams. I think that, one, Deion Dawkins has been good on the left side of the line, and I don't think either of them want to move over to the right side, either Trent Williams or Deion Dawkins. And the price is probably going to be too high. This is an all-pro caliber player, and been saying it all offseason and all season that the Bills have their own guys that they need to resign. Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer are both playing way, way, way undervalued. I think both of them could be in line for big deals in the near future. So you got to keep that in mind, Matt Milano, as well. Getting rid of Zay Jones, or trading Zay Jones, kind of gets rid of the need to you know, pay a receiver there. But I don't think Trent Williams is as viable a trade candidate as the internet's making it seem. But guys that I am keeping an eye on are Stephon Diggs and Von Miller. It's been floated out there that the Broncos are open to trading Von Miller, and I think adding a guy like that to this defense, I'm not sure where exactly he fits in. I know he spent a lot of time in that 3-4 in Denver. I'm not sure exactly where he fits in Buffalo, but I think guys like Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott, who are defensive masterminds, can figure it out. You figure out how to include a guy like that. And when you look at the Bills, like, the one thing that they probably don't do in an elite level is bring the quarterback down. They're great at getting pressure. They're great at forcing him off his spot. But could you imagine this defense with a guy like Von Miller on it? I think that's scary. So, it'd be an abundance of riches, but those are just two guys I'm looking at.
Yeah, Marcel, that's what the Trent Williams conversation stemmed from, a debate basically that if there was one area of need for this team heading towards the trade deadline, what would you target? Would you target wide receiver? Would you target offensive line? Would you target the pass rush? It sounds from what you're saying, it would be a skill position or a pass rusher that would be something that they might go after come trade deadline day.
Yeah, I think that's just the most fair thing to expect, the most reasonable thing to expect. And beyond Von Miller, Stephon Diggs, the more I think about it, I was initially out on trading for him.
Well, sell me on that too, Marcel, because I'm trying to think to myself, in Minnesota, who's behind Diggs and Thielen? They don't have a lot of depth. Why would Minnesota deal Stephon Diggs?
Oh, they have no reason to, other than just maybe locker room morale or I don't know. That's the thing, though, because they have no incentive, that means you really have to motivate them with a godfather offer.
Yeah.
And a godfather offer is going to involve a first or second round pick. And I'm just, I wince when I think about that, until one day I said it out loud. And my argument was, okay, there are so many good pass catchers in this upcoming draft class that you can just use that first rounder on one of these rookies, on a guy like Laviska Shenault, on a guy like T. Higgins, maybe Henry Ruggs or Jerry Jeudy. No, I thought about it. Why take the chance on a pass catcher in the first round when you know what you're getting in Stephon Diggs and you know that he signed for the foreseeable future? Like, if you're going to draft a receiver with one of those picks, why not use it to trade for one that's already a final product?
All right, so you get a deal for a malcontent whose production is squarely hinged on quarterback play?
I don't think he's malcontent to a fault. I think that this is a guy who's, proven he can be a top receiver in this league. He's done so with a ragtag group of quarterbacks in Minnesota. I mean, anybody that could put up digits with Case Keenum, deserves some respect. And I think, fresh scenery, defined role might do some good for him there. I'm just, once again, my biggest concern is, what is that cost? What will it take? Because Minnesota, like we said before, really has zero incentive to trade this guy. Team-friendly deal. He's already locked up. He's got no leverage. So it's something to keep an eye on. But, I'm starting to hate that idea a lot less nowadays than I did when the rumors first started. But I'm out on AJ Green. I think downslope of his career, the Bengals are going to ask for a lot to trade a franchise icon. I don't think AJ Green is worth it. 4 years ago, maybe, not right now.
Yeah, plus, gosh, I mean, how long would it take for him to get up to speed here? You see, he hasn't been on the field since August, too, on top of that.
Exactly. He's got to get into football shape. He's got to learn the system. It's just not, it's really not something I think is worth trading for.
Marcel, where did it go wrong for Zay Jones in Buffalo?
He failed to make an impact with an improved receiving corps. This is probably the first time he's been in a room with legitimate NFL wide receivers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And getting John Brown, getting Cole Beasley, he didn't stand out. He wasn't making plays, and ultimately that's what gets you noticed. That is what piques coaches' attention. That's what gets plays called for you. He's still an excellent blocker. He's still a decent underneath route runner, but he's not winning contested balls. And for a guy who's 6'2", you'd really expect him to do that a lot more often. Now, guys like a guy like Duke Williams, big body receiver, strong hands, strong route runner, that's going to be his role. What they kind of envisioned for Zay as that physical short yardage receiver, I think that's something that Williams can thrive in. I mean, we see it every day. If not every day, every week, he makes some sort of ridiculous catch. And I know these one-on-one drills are really geared toward wide receivers in the first place, but my Lord, I mean, he's beaten everybody. I've seen him beat Levi Wallace. He's beaten Kevin Johnson. He's beaten Trey White. And it almost kind of makes you wonder what did they need to see from him for the past 4 weeks in order to finally make the move up to the 53.
Yeah.
And I think maybe they were waiting on Zay Jones to click. They're giving him ample opportunity, and he just didn't do anything with it. By all accounts, Zay Jones is a good dude. High character. One incident after his rookie year, believe he's gotten the mental health help that he needs, but don't want to speak too much on that. That's his business. But I think he can do well in a new system, more West Coast timing base. I think that playing with Derek Carr might do him some good. Not saying one quarterback's better than the other, but there's also a defined need for a wide receiver in Oakland. It'd be really hard for him, really telling for him, if he were to tumble down that depth chart. So it was surprising to see how quickly they made the move. But, I mean, as you see, that's what happens in the NFL when you make plays like Duke Williams made plays.
Yeah, I was going to say, Marcel, it felt like more about what Zay didn't do than what Duke did do while he was in practice. Zay, in games, and that Patriots game is a standout, where after that game, I think, if there's one thing that'll turn a fan base on you in Buffalo, it's lack of effort. And there were a couple of plays there with Zay where it just seemed like the effort wasn't there. And then on top of that, and we've heard reports, and you're in the locker room, so you can verify this. I mean, maybe you haven't seen it firsthand, but we've heard that Zay, is up and down in terms of attitude. We certainly know what his family is like on social media, which may be a tell. But, how was Zay in the locker room, according to you, in your eyes?
It was a little up and down. Some days he was happy, go lucky. Other days he just kind of kept to himself. But, that's not much different than any of the rest of us. You have your good days, you have your bad days. But I like what you said. He just wasn't making the plays. And like this league is a meritocracy. You get what you earn. And your draft selection, your spot, you might get a little longer leash. You might, when teams invest that much into you, they might take a little longer to let you develop. But ultimately, if you don't have it, you don't have it. And I don't think he's quite the personality that his dad has displayed on several occasions online and on Twitter. But I don't think I don't think he was an issue in the locker room. Just had his good days, had his happy, I don't want to say happy, had his open days, had his closed shut off days. And I think a lot of us can relate to that.
Marcel, Louis Jacques, bye week coming up. It's a great time to get caught up on some reading. So tell us what we can look forward to on the website.
Yeah, I actually just filed it last night, 2,000 words on how Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer got to Buffalo. I'm sure it's a story that has been told in some capacity over the past 2 years, but, it was something that, when I first started watching them, I'd heard of Poyer and Hyde before I got here. When I really started watching them, I was just thinking, like, how in the world did their teams let them go? Like, how were they ever free agents? This doesn't make sense. And I spoke with both of them. I spoke with some people who were familiar with their final seasons in Green Bay and in Cleveland. I felt like they opened up a lot. especially, you know, especially Micah hearing the story of how Green Bay didn't even extend him a contract offer, despite making him a captain in the playoffs, was it was eye-opening. So it'll probably get whittled down a little bit as it gets pushed up the editorial ladder. But however many words comes up or comes out of it, I'm looking forward to having people read it and getting the story out.
Great stuff as always, Marcel. Really appreciate you taking some time out during the bye week to spend some time with us here on the Sports Bar. We look forward to talking to you again next week, bud.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. Might not be looking forward to the game as much. Yeah. We got Miami coming in, but no, it beats the heck out of a regular job, man. And we're all blessed to be here.
No doubt.
Marcel, have a great weekend. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Y'all do the same.
There he is, ESPN.com's Marcel Louis-Jacques covering the Buffalo Bills for ESPN's NFL Nation.
I like how he gives a different perspective on Stephon Diggs, and this is something I think we can kind of say now, right? The Bills are going to be a 9, 10, 11 win team. They're not going to be picking in the top 10. So when we're talking about possible trade scenarios, Mike Danger, and yes, the ultimately, this is a moot point because Minnesota is not going to... What do they have to replace Stephon Diggs? But let's say they were. Are you really going to draft a wide receiver that's better than Stephon Diggs at 21, 22, 23?
You might.
You might.
You might.
You very well might. Or Trent Williams, for that matter. But this idea that we need to hold on to our first-round picks, well, if that first-round pick now all of a sudden... Yeah, it's going to be toward the end of the first round, you would figure.
There's just talent there, Gene. I mean, you know, you'll be able to find... If you're doing your job, you'll find the right guy.
Trey White being... Yeah,
right,
yeah,
right. Look, I know that a lot of times draft picks get viewed as disposable because not all of them pan out, right? But if you're doing your homework, if you're doing your job, if you truly are scouting the right way, you're going to hit more often than you miss with those high draft picks. It's missing with those high draft picks that send teams spiraling. I mean, teams like the Bengals that can't hit on a draft pick. They just can't hit. You whiff on a first round draft pick, and Bills fans know this. How many did we whiff on?
Oh, gosh, yeah. See, who was the defensive end out of Penn State there? Aaron Maben. Oh,
yeah,
terrible.
All right, let's get to NFL appetizers. Other stories from around the National Football League. It's brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com.
Oh, tomorrow night. This could be ugly. The Giants and Patriots, and the Giants are banged up. If you have any Giants on your fantasy team, you want to pay attention here. We have news from the Chargers, the Dolphins, and yes, more on the Redskins coming up in NFL apps.
We got NFL appetizers coming up, and we got free tickets to give away right now at 454 ESPN. Listen to this. Comedy and Conversations with The Sopranos. If you're a fan of The Sopranos, it's coming to Kodak Center on Saturday, November 2nd at 8 o'clock. Sopranos stars Bobby Bacala will be there, Vincent Pastore, and Michael Imperioli. Christopher will be there. They're all going to appear in a multimedia comedic retrospective featuring behind-the-scenes stories and audience Q&A and more. Limited VIP meet-and-greet tickets are available. Tickets available at Ticketmaster.com or the Kodak Center box office. Right now, if you're caller 5 at 454-ESPN, we'll get you a pair of tickets to the show. Caller 5, 454-3776 for Comedy and Conversations with The Sopranos at the Kodak Center on Saturday, November 2nd. Good luck. NFL appetizers next in the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Push your bandwidth to the limit with ESPNRochester.com. Stream the sports leader on your computer. Read the latest rumblings from the Bills and rumors from the Sabres. Breaking news, expert analysis and opinion, we've got you covered. Plus on-demand audio and all of the best moments from the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Bookmark ESPNRochester.com, the online home of AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The Sports League, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.